Say, well, let's see your Bibles tonight. Word. Let's see your pens. Pens. Let's see your lesson plan. They did that last night. I was kind of freaking thought that, you know, the evening service and 8 o'clock service are usually like lesson plan, word. They're like, lesson plan. I was like, am I in the right place? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And again, if you are a visitor, welcome. You are at the Rock Church. You are not at the Cineplex or wherever you might have thought you were going. And my name is Miles. I'm the pastor today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness to us and pray you bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Say, I'm ready.
Ready.
I'm ready. I was watched a couple of shows last week back to back that happened to have a guy, two different guys, talking about bugs and little creepy crawlers. Just teaching about bugs, and I'm fascinated by everything that has to do with creation or nature. And they were talking about stuff like lice. You know, there's three kinds of lice: head lice, body lice, pubic lice. And they were talking about the difference. And one of the differences is that each hair in those areas is a different size and texture. And so each one of these lice have different hooks on their feet to grab onto different types of hair that you have. I know it's nasty, but I just wanted to educate you a little bit just so you know what's going on. They were talking about maggots, fly larvae. One lady had a maggot in her leg for like 3 months. It was incubating for months. And she felt this thing crawling in her thigh, and no one believed her. You know, it's like, no, you don't have anything. They did all kind of tests. And then finally, this lady, doctor, looked in the book and found out they burrow in, and for months will stay in your body, whatever they burrow in. And so they cut her open and pulled out this maggot like that big. I'm sorry to tell you this, but anybody itching yet? I get the itchies when I see this stuff. My nose starts. But the thing about maggots is that maggots eat dying flesh. They do different things. And they use actually maggots in hospitals for people who have gangrene or infections. They use this in World War II, I believe, by accident. That's how they discovered it. These flies would lay eggs in people's wounds and heal them. And so this one guy, he had on a television program, he had his leg cut off. And they had his gauze over his knee, and they would open the gauze up, and there was his muscle. And he had an infection. And every so often, they would take these group of handful of maggots, put it on the infection, close it up. Next day, come back, and it was clean, because that's what they did. They eat the dying flesh only. Now, you say ill, but if your stuff was rotten, give me some maggots. Reason I'm telling you this is because I want to teach you about leeches. Leeches actually suck blood, and like mosquitoes also. Mosquitoes suck blood out of your body. When they bite you, they're sucking blood out. And these leeches will suck blood. And so this guy was rowing down this little murky creek, and he was talking about the Amazon. He probably was just in El Cajon somewhere, but those leeches in the water, and he goes down and he stops the boat, little raft. He takes his sock off and his shoe, and he puts his foot in the water, and he goes to sleep. And then they show these leeches swimming around the water, and the leech latches onto his foot, and he was explaining how the leech works. The leech will bite your foot, your skin, or whatever of whatever it's going to leech on, because it's not just humans, animals. And it makes an incision, but before it makes an incision in your body, it releases an anesthetic to numb what it's going to bite. So what it bites doesn't feel it. It has an anesthetic in its saliva. Also in the saliva is a blood thinner to make the blood thin so it can come out easy. Now, if you believe in evolution and that these things evolve, the question you have to ask yourself is, why would it have an anesthetic and blood thinner in its saliva? There is no answer. God made that. And if it took millions of years to evolve, what happened before anesthetic was there? It would get killed every time, wouldn't live. Matter of fact, one of the bugs they showed was a scorpion, and on its stomach, it had motion sensors. And when it laid on the sand in the desert, it could feel bugs running across the sand by the vibration on its stomach. And then he would know the bug was over there and it would kill it. Well, it took billions of years to develop that motion sensor. That means billions of years he couldn't eat. He would just be feeling nothing. He'd be like, and he would just die. But this leech swims through the water, anesthetized or numbs like Novocaine, the air is going to bite. You don't feel it. Then it bites you, and the saliva thins the blood so it comes out easier, and it drinks blood and fills its whole body up. And then when it gets its fill, let go and does whatever it does with your blood. We're going to start a series today on cults. And there are many people in following God, and they're in a religion, and they go to church of some kind, temple, whatever it is, and they think that when they die, they're going to go to heaven, and they actually feel pretty good about what they're doing. But little do they know that they're going, when they die, they're going to have a rude awakening, and they were misled, just like the person that got the leech on them. You don't know, it's sucking your life out of you. And so the next 4 weeks, this week and three more weeks, we're going to do this little series. We're going to talk about Jehovah's Witnesses next week. We're going to talk about Mormons in 3 weeks. We're going to talk about the International Church of Christ and how these things are different. Now, you may say, well, why are we going to talk about those religions? Aren't all paths leading to God? And why are we going to say bad things about those people? We're not going to say bad things about those people. Hopefully, if you don't take it that way. What we're going to do is just tell you about them. In other words, if someone said, let me tell you about The Rock. They believe Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. They're not saying anything bad about us. They just happen to be saying what we believe. What we're going to do is tell you what they believe. I was talking to a guy on the plane, witnessing to this guy on the plane, and he asked me, you know, are you tolerant? You sound like you're not tolerant of other faiths. I said, listen, no, I don't claim to be tolerant in the definition of that everyone's right. I believe some people are wrong. So if that's your definition of tolerant, I am intolerant. So I don't have to abide by the rules of tolerance, as you say. But if you are tolerant, then you have to tolerate my belief to tell you that you're wrong, if in fact I believe you're wrong. Because that's my belief. So therefore, if you're tolerant, you have to tolerate me. If you do not want to tolerate me, then you are intolerant. And in fact, you are the hypocrite. Because you claim to be tolerant. I don't claim to be tolerant. Okay. Now, if your definition is we need to tolerate people by everyone has the right to believe what they want to believe, that is true. Everybody does have the right to believe what they want to believe. But it doesn't mean that you can believe what you want to believe, die and go to heaven and say, God, this is what I believe, so let me in. In other words, you can believe something wrong, but you do have a right to believe it. But it is wrong, and with it will come consequences. Our biblical belief is that we have not only a right, but a responsibility, always in love, and never judgmental, to tell people that. I said to this guy, and we were having this conversation on the plane, I said, look, if you're going to get up on the plane, go to the bathroom, down the aisle, and there's someone in the bathroom who's going to hit you in the head and kill you, wouldn't you want me to tell you that? Or would you like me just to tolerate his belief to knock you out and not say anything? I mean, that's the mentality. So what we want to do is want, now there's people who don't, who you have family members who are in something that you think is okay, and you need to know if it's not. Let's look at our notes. It says a cult is a religious group who claims compatibility with biblical Christianity, but whose doctrines and practices contradict the Bible. People say, we're a Christian just like you. Whenever you hear that, you need to know that that's not always true. Okay? An occult, O-C-C-U-L-T, occult is not a Christian organization claiming one thing, compatibility with the Bible. Occult comes from the Latin word occultus, which means hidden, or secret, mysterious. And they deal with secret powers people have that go beyond the use of their senses. People have EST and they can move stuff and levitate. It's or demonic activity, occult tarot cards, occult, Ouija boards, occult, palm reading, occult, horoscope, occult. Don't raise your hand. Do not raise your hand. Do what I say. I'm going to tell you, how many of you look at the horoscope? Someone's going to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But some of y'all look at the horoscope because you don't want to get, let me tell you something. It's from the devil. It's from the devil. Think about it. Horoscope. Horoscope. It is a scope into horror. It's a scope of horror. That's it. The stars were never intended to tell you anything other than the gospel. The zodiac, the Bible calls zodiac Maseroth. God put it there. I'm Aries, the ram. If you remember, when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, and there was a what caught in the thicket? A ram. Virgo, the virgin. Mary. Aquarius, the water, the Holy Spirit. Those 12 symbols are pictures. There's no pictures up there. There's no picture. The symbols and the word pictures come from the Hebrew words or names of stars. And those names have to do with the gospel. And every year you see one 12-part gospel going through you. 12 is the number of governmental perfection in the Bible. God has 12 phases of the gospel that goes by every year in the sky. That's all it is. The devil perverted it. Do not read your horoscope. It's wrong. It's you're dabbling in the occult. Okay, so that's different from cult. Let's read chapter 24, verse 1. It says, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus says, do you not see all these things? Surely I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. The temple was magnificent. It took decades to build, had gigantic stones, and Christ says there's going to come a day when every stone is going to be removed. They say there's no way that can happen. Well, it just so happened 37 years after he said this, the Romans came in, burnt the city, killed over a million Jews. They burnt the temple because inside the stones, walls of the temple, was wood, and on the wood was gold. And when they burnt the wood, the gold melted. They had to take every stone of the temple apart to get to the gold, just like Jesus said. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us when these things will be and what will be the signs of your coming and the end of age. Jesus says, take heed that no one deceives you. It is critical. You have people walking around going to different, worshiping different gods, having different religions, and he's saying, you're going to be deceived. Don't be deceived. And he gives us a warning. Look at verse 5. Number one, many will come to you in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Number one, cults deny the deity of Christ. Now, I'm going to give a disclaimer. The International Church of Christ does not deny the deity of Christ. They have other issues that we're going to talk about in a couple weeks that are not biblical. But for the most part, cults deny the deity of Christ. Now, let's talk about this. It is critical, if we believe Christ is God, which we do. Now, you may not, but the Rock Church says or believes that Jesus Christ is God. We just did a whole series on 6 weeks long called Who's Jesus Really? If you weren't here, please get the tape, get the lesson plans, listen to it on the internet. Believe that Jesus Christ, that God is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father is God. Jesus is God. Holy Spirit is God. We believe not only did Jesus' critics confirm, his disciples confirmed it, the demons confirmed it, he confirmed it, his Father said he was God, the Holy Spirit honored him as God, Jesus was all through the Old Testament and New Testament as God. The evidence that he's God is overwhelming. We believe he is God. He is the express image of the invisible God. He says, before Abraham was, I am. I am was the formal name of God. He had authority only God can have. He did the only thing God can do, which is forgive sin. He had authority in heaven. Jesus says, all authority in heaven has been given to me. Over and over and over again, he explicitly and implicitly said and implied and did things only God can do. No question, we believe Jesus is God. Now, if someone says Jesus is not God, then we have a problem. Because how could they be a Christian when they don't worship Christ for who he said he was? Because everything Christ said is based on the fact that he's got to be God. What do you say? I'm going to die and come back. And when I come back, I am going to judge. I am going to be worshipped. He was worshipped in the and when he was alive on earth. Only God can be worshipped. Because Christ himself said, you shall serve and worship God only. So if he's not God, not only is he a liar, his death did not pay the penalty for our sin. He ain't coming back. He ain't in heaven. He ain't going to judge the righteous and the wicked. So that means a whole lot of the Bible ain't true. That means we're still not forgiven. So either he's God or he's not. So if someone says we have a religious belief, but our belief says Jesus is not God, that means everything God, Jesus said about the kingdom and heaven and hell and eternity is irrelevant. Those two things cannot coexist. He can't be God to some and not be God and be true. One of those people have to be wrong. There's a law of logic. There's laws of logic. And you know that you break those laws when someone does something that's illogical. Amen? Say, if someone says to you, I'll make something up. I'm going to be home at 11. And every time they tell you they're going to be home at 11, they come home at 12. Logically, you say, you lie to me. Well, no, I'm not lying. I just, things happen. No, you lie. Because every time you tell me you're going to be home at 11, you come home at 12, and it so happens that you're always in the same place doing the same thing every time. So logically, you know how long that takes, and you're lying. It's a basic, we all know when illogical things happen, amen? Well, there's a law of logic that says, so it's the law of non-contradiction. The law says that you can't say something is one thing and then say, it's not that thing. It's a law of non-contradiction. In other words, you can't say this is a podium and say it's not a podium. You just contradicted yourself. So the law of non-contradiction says something's wrong. You can't say that you can say it's a podium and a table, but it's still a podium. And it's acting as a table also. That's okay, because it's doing two things. But you can't say it's a podium and say it's not a podium. It has to be one or the other. So you can't say Jesus is God, and then another guy say he's not God. Well, somebody's wrong, because you just contradict yourself. Now, Jesus can be God and man, but he's still God. And he's still man when he walked the earth. He could be both, but he can't be God, and then he's not God. Let me read a couple of quotes to you. Christian Science, started by Mary Baker Eddy, says Jesus Christ is not God. So if you have a friend that's in Christian Science, they don't believe Jesus is God. So what do they worship? They worship their own mental powers to heal and her teachings. The Way International, Victor Paul Weirwill, placing Jesus Christ on the same level as God degrades God. The Unification Church, Sun Myung Moon. It is a great error to think Jesus as God. Mormonism. Jesus is the spirit child of God, the union between Elohim and Mary. Mormons believe that there are many, 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 many gods. Mormons believe that the God of the planet Earth is Elohim, and he is only the God of this earth and not other planets. So when you read Elohim in the Bible, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth, is what it says. They believe that Elohim is only the God of planet earth. Now, the Bible says he created the heavens and the earth. But they believe that Elohim had sex with Mary and Jesus was the result. He is a spirit child. He is not creator. Very, very significant difference. Would you say? Jehovah's Witness. Jesus Christ is simply Michael the Archangel. He's an angel. He's not God. You shouldn't worship him. Jehovah's Witnesses do not worship Jesus. They don't. He's not worship worthy. Now, so you people say, well, we believe, we're realized people, hey, we're Christians just like you, Christian Latter-day Saints. No, they're not. Their God is different. They have multiple gods. People can become gods and have their own planets. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. It is very, very different. Now, do they have a right to believe that? Sure. I have a right to stand on my head right now. I really do. I have a right to stand on my head. I can't stand on my head. I don't know how to do that. But I can do that. But you have to understand that people can be wrong. Now, this is not to win an argument, by the way. This is to, in love, save people from deception. Amen? We have to understand it. So cults and activities. Two, cults make false claims about Jesus' activities. They make false claims about Jesus' activities. Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus returned invisibly in 1914. If a Jehovah's Witness come to your house, say, when do you think Jesus is coming back? They'll say, well, he already came back. When? In 1914. Well, how come we didn't see it? Well, he was invisible. That's what they believe. Mormons say Jesus Christ came back in 1820 and he appeared to Joseph Smith. He got the revelation for the church. The Baha'i faith says Jesus came back in the form of the prophet Baha'u'llah. Baha'u'llah in 1844. Now, one faith says he came back in 1914. Another faith says he came back in 1820. Another faith he says he came back in 1844 is this guy. And another faith, our faith, says he ain't come back yet. Well, somebody's wrong. Somebody's got to be wrong. Because if he came back as Baha'u'llah and said, you need to do this, and yet he's telling us you need to do this, well, he's schizophrenic. Why is he telling them that and us this, and they don't agree? Now, let me read to you what he said about coming back. And he said many things, but let's read this, verse 23. Verse 23 says, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, don't believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great things and wonders, deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. What he says, I'm telling you now. People are going to come and lie to you. I'm telling you now. They're going to tell you I'm over there. They're going to say I'm over there. Look, let's keep reading. Look what it says. Verse 26. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert. Don't go out there. He's in the inner room. Don't go in there. Don't believe it. He's in the woods with Joseph Smith. He's over here with the Baha'i. He's invisible. He's floating around. We can't see him. Don't believe it. This is Jesus himself telling you. And then what he says next, he says, for as lightning comes from the east and flashes from the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. He says, brothers, let me tell you, when I come back, you will know. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm not putting that burden on you to kind of figure it out. It's going to be so plain. In the first service this morning, I quoted Philippians 2 when it says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. One day, everyone's going to confess. He'll set it straight. And when I said that, there was an earthquake. Did y'all feel an earthquake this morning? Okay, when that happened, I had just said that. That was freaky. There's like 40,000 other pastors around the country saying, well, when I said this word, the earth moved. But it happened. And everybody here felt it except me. I didn't know it. Everyone's going, because I just said this word, and the room shook. And I was like, what happened? They said, you didn't feel the earthquake. And I was like, man, everybody got it but me. I'm going to miss it when he comes back. I'm going to miss it. I ain't going to get it. But I had just quoted that verse, and the room moved. And for whatever it's worth, you know, I'm not going to read into it, but it happened. What Jesus is saying here is, look, when I want to get everybody's attention, I know how to do that. Do you think that the tsunami, and I'm not saying God made the tsunami happen, but it happened. Do you think anybody in that part of the world missed it? No. No one in the whole planet missed it. We weren't even there. And as a matter of fact, if you didn't know, the water went across the ocean at 500 miles an hour, all the way to Africa, 4,000 miles. Do you know that? It killed people in Africa 4,000 miles away. Can you imagine a wave traveling 500 miles an hour for 4 hours across the ocean? You know how much power that is? Just say no. You don't. We don't. Jesus says, when I come back, you see that lightning? It's going to be something like that. Now, I have a theory. This is my own personal theory. It doesn't mean anything, whether I'm right or wrong. There's two, at least I know of, there's different kinds of lightning. There's sheet lightning, where you just have a white sheet go across the sky. Then you have bolts of lightning. My personal opinion that when Christ comes back, that's going to be a kind of lightning we ain't never seen. That's just me talking. But what he's saying here, his point is you will know. You don't ever have to guess. So when someone tells you Jesus was over there, Jesus is over there, oh, don't buy it. Don't buy it. Number three, cults follow a particular person and place extreme pressure on people to stay involved in their cult. Some of y'all are getting ready to get your toes stepped on right now. Because it says right after that, some people may have a cultist relationship with their home church and pastor. Well, if he's not there, I'm not going. I need to sit in my seat. I need to park in my spot. Don't get hung up on that. Don't matter where you sit, God speaks to a whole lot of people. And I understand we get attached to certain personalities and people and styles of communicating, but don't let that, don't get sucked into you believing you have to have that, because it's not true. You need to come here to have an encounter with the living God. And God can put a child up here and talk to you, and you can encounter the living God. And by the way, you need to be encountering that living God every day of the week by yourself. By yourself. And because, hey, if I ain't walking with God and if I ain't saying what God wants you to hear, you ain't gonna get anything from me either. Look at it. If you got a notes, just write this down. Write down 1 Corinthians 3:5-9. 1 Corinthians 3:5-9. This is Paul speaking. In this Corinthians church, they started arguing about Apollos and Paul. And some people were saying, well, we like Apollos. Well, we like Paul. Some of y'all can be like that with pastor. Well, I like this pastor, and I'm going to go when he speaks. And I like this pastor. I'm going to go. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with, you know, identifying and getting misused with certain people. And I understand all that. But we got to always look bigger than that. Okay? And this is what he says. Paul says, what, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned teach his task. I, Paul, planted seed, Apollos watered the seed, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants or waters is anything, but God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, each to be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field and God's building. Paul's saying, don't get caught in that. Don't get caught in that. When you come to church, you need to be, right before you get out of your car, say, God, speak to me. And God may speak to you walking through and talking to somebody in the back. God may speak to you through the worship. God's going to speak to you through the introduction. How you doing? Let's read this verse, and God speaks to you. You need to be just focused on Jesus and not a person. In cults, in cults, they read different Bibles. Michael Jackson trial going on. Everyone's caught up on Mike. Oh, they don't want to know anything about nothing. We just believe in Mike so much that whatever Mike can do, whatever Mike can't do, no wrong. Mike can't do no wrong. Cult. People go to cult because some guy or woman has this special revelation that they got this secret information outside the Bible that came from God that you have to go to them to get. That's a cult. And if you leave, you will be ostracized from the church. You may even go to hell, because we have the way. For the record, You don't have to come to the Rock to be saved. For the record, there's a whole lot of places that could be maybe minister to you better than here. For the record, if you want to leave and never come back, we will bless you. And go find a church that meets your needs better. It's okay. You will go to hell. Heaven? Hell. You will go to hell. Someone in here going, that's a Freudian slip. I know that's what he's really thinking. For the record, you will go to heaven if you believe in Jesus Christ. Now, we do highly encourage you, and believe me, I'm a passionate person. I talk like this at home with my wife. Hey, you know, she's just like this. She's complete opposite of me. She's just like, I'm like, I'm literally, you're in the kitchen. Debbie, guess what happened today? She's just like, then I'll finish. What do you think? It's pretty good. What do you want for dinner? Did you hear anything I said? I heard everything you said. I just don't get excited like you. You don't know it after 25 years? I'm going to passionately tell you, read your Bible. Passionately tell you to serve in ministry. I'm passionately tell you to be in accountability group. Passionately tell you let God manage your resources. But if you don't want to do it, now, do I believe with all my heart that the Bible teaches you will be less blessed than if you do? Absolutely. Yes, you will be less blessed because the Bible says that. Because that's how God set us up. To minister, to walk by faith, to hold each other accountable. That's how the Bible's set up. That's what I believe. That's not my belief. That's what I believe the Bible says. So I'm going to passionately tell you that. But if you say, hey, I want to do what they want to do, that's okay. I want to go to another church, that's okay. It's okay. So just for the record, so when we start, you know, but we can get cultures where we say, oh, I'm going to go to Rock, and I got to listen to Miles, and I'm going to sit in my seat, and I'm going to do this. And people say, man, you're in cult? Well, be careful that you're just doing it because you believe that's what God is leading you to do. And you're getting God from that. Not that those systems and my personality is giving you anything, because it's not. It's got to be God. I was listening riding the street. I don't listen to my radio program. I'm on the radio 3 times a day, and I have never listened to it. It's hard for me to listen to my own voice. So I was driving down the street, and I happened to hit the radio station by accident during the time I was on. I didn't know it was on. So I didn't do it, and I was like, listen to it. And I was like, something kind of sounds familiar. Oh, it's kind of good. Who is that? I had never heard it. And it took me like 15 seconds to really recognize that it was me. And so I started listening to it. And I started listening to it for this reason. Let's see if this guy's any good. Really. Because if God does not minister to me, let me say it this way, if it was truly God what I was preaching then, it would have ministered to me in the car. If it was truly God what I said it the first time, it would have ministered to me in the car. And I said, I'm going to see if this is going to minister to me in the car. And so you have to come here for God and not get caught up in people and systems. All that stuff could change. Everything can change, and God is still God, and he still loves you, still has a plan for your life. Amen? Amen. Look at verse 10, just to give you the... what Jesus says in verse 10, he says, many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another, and many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. These are false prophets of people saying, here's what God told me this, and you got to do this, and they trump the Bible. They talk about something other than the Bible. And number four says, cults rely on material other than the Bible as their main source of truth. The Bible's the only book that claims to be supernatural, life-changing, and embodying the integrity of Jesus himself. Islam uses the Quran. Oh, they say they use the Bible, but they use the Quran. Christian Science used the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. Mormons use the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, Doctrines and Covenants. Jehovah's Witnesses have their own version of the Bible that they change things. Now, people say, well, we use the Bible too. Why are they telling you that? Because they want inclusion. But they don't believe the Bible. Why? How could you read the Bible and then say Jesus is not God? How can it be the Bible say Jesus is only an angel? They just use the Bible because it's part of the deception. Now, do I think that the innocent people that come to your door are saying we're going to deceive you. No, they really believe what they've been taught. But do I believe that the origins of that faith is from the Satan? Absolutely. Most definitely. The devil can only distort truth. You know that God created sex? Say amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you a fact. Go ahead, girl. Man. Do we need to end this sermon right now? All you married people, raise your hand. Hey, okay, let me say something to you married people, because y'all are the only ones who are biblically legal to be having sex right now. So all you single people, just kind of just hush up for a second. Act like you don't know anything. Before you have sex, pray. Pray. You ever think about that? God's not like going, oh, God's like, he wants to bless it. He created it. He knows all the tricks. God knows all the tricks. And you need to get on your knees and say, Lord, please bless what we getting ready to do. Okay, can you give me some counsel on this one, God? You think I'm lying? I'm not lying. Because if you think about it, I mean, you think about how amazing that whole process is and all of the stuff God made, that God created in his mind with the feelings and all the emotion, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual emotions of that whole encounter. And you know why? The Bible says when a man and his wife get married, they become one flesh. And God says when you experience that oneness through sex, I'm going to make it the bomb. And you will know it ain't nothing like you ever done before in your life. God. So you're on your knees and say, God, you know what? We don't want to do anything perverted. We don't want to pervert what you created for good. But we know if you created for good, it could be really good. The devil, through pornography, perverts it. Through incest and molestation and rape, he perverts it. God made it beautiful. The devil can only pervert. So when these religions come up with this new book, all they're doing is perverting the Bible. Now, it may be very subtle, but it's still a perversion. So if they say, we have another book, no. God gave us one book because Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. This whole book embodies the integrity of Christ himself. Every page. Every page and word gives witness to Jesus Christ as God. Number five, false cults follow false prophets who preach a false gospel offering salvation by works. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, so that no one can boast. For by grace you have been saved by faith. It is a gift of God, not by works. Everyone say grace. The definition of grace is undeserved favor. What does that mean? Is that God loves you when you don't deserve it. You know what that means? Is that you can't ever deserve it. You can't earn it. You can't pay him back. I was talking to a guy as we were interviewing for the documentary, and this guy was in gangs, drugs, prison, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I said to him, what do you want to be when you grow up? He's saved now, this particular guy. And he says, I want to be a pastor. And I said to him, I asked him, do you think and believe that God owes you, or do you deserve an opportunity to be a pastor given all you've done? Do you think God should give you an opportunity? Do you deserve an opportunity? After everything you've done bad. And he said, no. But because of God's grace, he will give it to me. You and I don't deserve anything. Think about it. What is it that you got good that you can go to God to justify you getting anything? Well, I work hard. Where did you get the desire to work hard? God. Where did you get the ability to work? God. Where did you get the opportunity to work? God. Well, I'm a nice guy. Where did you get your niceness? God. Well, I'm intelligent. Where did you get your intelligence? God. Well, I learn. I read a lot. Where did you get your ability to read and the opportunity to read and the books to read and the money to get the books? Because some people don't have those things. God. Everything you got from God. Anything good you got, you could brag about, you got from God. Or you got from something that God gave you. In other words, you got it because God gave you the opportunity, the resource, and the ability to go get it. And the opportunity that what you were going to get was there to be got. In other words, have you ever gone to buy something that ain't there? Ladies, you ever go to the store to buy a dress because you saw someone else had it and you wanted to go get it and you went back and got it and it wasn't there? Amen? Amen? So sometimes you may go to get something that you even have the ability to get it, but it ain't there. So God not only gives you the ability to get it, the propensity to get it, the opportunity, the resources to get it, but also the fact that it was there to be God. That's all God. Are you following me? God says, I love you so much more than you can ever imagine. It's called grace. And no matter what you do, no matter how many doors you knock on, no matter how many missionary trips you go on, no matter how many times you read the Bible, no matter how many good works you do, you can never deserve it. You can never earn it. You can never pay me back. It's by grace. Christianity is the only faith in the world, planet Earth, that is based on grace. Every other faith, you got to do this. International Church of Christ, right here in San Diego, all around the country, you can only get saved if you go through their discipleship program and get baptized in their church. None of y'all are saved. I'm not saved. Because you have to do it their way in their church. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised from the dead, Lord, I am such a sinner, please save me. Oh, you'll be saved. What they say? No, that don't work. You got to do this in our program. Oh, very different. I was having a conversation with my daughter and her boyfriend. It was my wife and I and my daughter and the boyfriend. We were talking, and this guy, I'm not sure his name. No, I know his name. He asked my wife and I a very interesting question. He said, how did you know you were in love? She said, aw. I was like, So let me tell you something, little fella. Let me explain how this happened. There was a time in our relationship after we met that we had feelings that were developing where we said, I love you. Then as time went by and other things happened, that feeling that we identified as love grew and evolved. Evolve is not a bad word. It means change over time. Change over time to be something even stronger. And I love you. And then there was a time when we had our kids and we got a new kind of love that was kind of like a psychotic, if you hurt my daughter love, I'll kill you. Say amen. Then I got that kind of love that still burns with passion. And then this thing that we call love is still growing after 25 years. Still trying to experience it, invest in it, be faithful to it. But it's not that or that. It's bigger than anything I can describe to you. It's a commitment. Kept talking. The point was it was just growing, evolving, still learning about it. The love that God has for you and me, we don't understand. You can't. But you do know that the continuum of love we understand, that you feel infatuated, you feel these feelings, they keep getting stronger and stronger. Just keep going for like a trillion years and you may get to what God calls, what God's love is. He gave us a flavor of it. But the love he has for us is so overwhelming. That means you can curse God's name every day for 90 years. And when you get on your knees and say, God, I'm sorry, repent. He goes, I love you. I forgive you. And I want to fill you with my Holy Spirit, transform your life. And no matter what you've ever done, we can't comprehend that. Because in our world, we got to earn it. Got to pay for it. If you someone stabs you in the back, they lose your love. God says, no, no, don't work that way with me. Don't work that way with me. Your relationship with me is based completely on the grace. Because you know why? Even when you ask me to be your Savior, you still ain't good enough. And even when you go to church every day and read your Bible every day and you give money to the church, you still ain't good enough. It's not based on you be good enough. It's based on you trusting me, God says. That's what it's based on. And no matter how long you trust me and how long you read your Bible and grow as a Christian, you by yourself will never be good enough. But this is not about you being good enough. It's about you trusting me. The Bible says the just, the righteous, the holy shall walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? That you trust God in every decision you make because you don't know enough. Whenever you get to the point where you say, I don't need God, now I can do it on my own, that's not faith. And the Bible says you can't be just that way because you and I are faulty units. We're broken. It's called sin. Jesus Christ says, I'm going to die on the cross for you. I'm going to pay the penalty for your sin because the penalty is death. I'm going to die in your place. And if you believe that I'm Lord, that I died and rose from the dead, and you ask me to be your Savior, oh, instantly I will forgive you of your sin. Come live in your heart and be your Savior. Christianity is the only faith based on grace. The other ones you got to do by works. As a matter of fact, somebody's faith, Jehovah's Witness, everybody don't get saved. Only a certain people get saved. You could be Jehovah's Witness and Mormon, and not all people go to heaven. Only certain people attain. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. And the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, he will answer your prayer. If you cast your burdens on him, he will take your burden and give you his burden, his burden's light. All who are heavy laden, not just some, all who are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Anybody. I spent last week when we were filming, our base of operation was a hotel here in town, a motel here in town that is a ministry, and they have 105 rooms, all of people in transition from homelessness, prison, drugs, and they're coming from that as low as you can go into society, and this place is a place of a transition. So everybody in this place has been down, and we went there every day. That was our base of operation. And it was such a blessing to be there, to see all these people who the devil beat down, and God was having an opportunity to love them back. This guy came to me, was talking to me, and this woman was standing there when we were talking, and she left and came back. And while she left, I asked the guy how old he was. He's 44 years old. He had pretty much all gray hair, no teeth. He looked very tired. And the lady came back. I said, how old do you think that guy was? She said, 70? I said, he's 44. Because the devil beats you down. But God says, no, I want to lift you up. You know the Bible says when Lazarus died, that an angel took him to heaven? An angel? When you die, oh, we hate when people die. But you know what? When you and I die, it's going to be so good. I hope I got my freedom. I can say, don't cry. I'm having so much fun. Y'all need to die. It's better up here than down there. The angel went. You know it's a trip? I'll end with this. That we go to heaven. Jesus is going to be on the throne. And all these people who say Jesus ain't God, what are they going to do? Well, they ain't going to be there. How you gonna go to heaven and say, I ain't worshiping him, and he's on the throne? You know there's little babies in heaven? I don't know what heaven's going to be like. And this is one of my theories that could be very wrong, but there's babies that were never born. They went to heaven. Now, that's not my theory. That's biblical. But my theory is that when we get to heaven, they're going to tell us what was going on. Hey, guess what? Me and Jesus was over there playing in the sandbox. Look how big his sandbox is. It wraps all around Hawaii. And these babies who never saw the light of day here, never had the opportunity, thank God, to learn about sin and heartbreak and backstab and gossip, they went straight to heaven. Yeah. straight to heaven. And God says, I'll take them right now. And they're up there doing whatever they're doing. God says, my love is so beyond what you could ever imagine. If you ever want to know the kingdom of God, go watch little kids. Because I know a lot of y'all been, like I have, to very poor places in different countries. Go to Tijuana and watch little kids. Everywhere. Everywhere. You'll see little kids running around playing. In garbage. Or in a McDonald's, wherever they're at, they'll find something to play with and laugh about. The Bible says, unless you become like a little child, you'll not see the kingdom of God. What does that mean? You just say, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, learn whatever you want me to learn. I'll do it, follow you wherever you want me to go, and I'll just trust you. That's a little kid. Today, in a minute, we're going to give you an opportunity to say, Jesus, you know what? I believe you're God, and I want to follow you by faith. And I'm so glad you love me in spite of myself. Let's all pray. Lord, we just thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to know you. Thank you for the opportunity to have a relationship with you. And Lord, there may be somebody here this morning who knows they're a sinner, and they know they can never prove or earn your love because we're sinners. But they so desperately want to have a relationship with you. And they're so happy to hear that it's by grace you will save them and forgive them. If you would like to receive the forgiveness of the Lord this morning, if you would like to receive salvation this morning, if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior by faith, just pray this prayer with me. In the privacy of your heart, by faith, pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong, but I believe you love me. I believe you have a plan for my life. And I believe you died on the cross for my sin. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please come live in my heart and be my Savior. I surrender my life to you by faith. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up if you gave your life to Jesus. By standing up, you are acknowledging, yes, Jesus is my Savior. I am surrendering to him as God. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you're giving your life to Jesus this morning, just stand up. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing, please. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God has spoken to you today and saying, I am real. I'm not going to force you, but I love you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Now I'm going to ask all you who are standing to do one more thing. God bless you. Very good. As we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask all of you all over the room to step out of your seat and come down to the altar. Let's get them a hand as they come on down. Who's the man? Come on. Amen. Come on out of your seat. Come on down. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right there, okay? Face me. Stay right there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 Someone say amen. God bless you. 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 Bible says, if you confess, Jesus is faithful and will forgive you. God bless you. He's faithful and giving and blessing. If you confess your sin, Jesus is faithful and he will forgive you and cleanse you from unrighteousness. He will forgive you. He has. As far as he's concerned, he's forgotten it already. It's done. He's already moving on to what he's going to do. Your job is only to trust him and do what he says. That's it. Okay? If today you decide, I'm going to go over here and go to church, it stands. It's still saved. God's still got a plan. We're going to offer you help. You take it or not. One non-negotiable is that this is his book. And you got to do what he says. That's the non-negotiable. Because it's not about what we want to do. It's about what he wants to do. When we do what we want, we get in trouble. Amen? You just got to do what he says. So we're going to pray for you. Then we're going to ask you to we're going to follow that young man over here. We're going to give you a book and talk to you about what's going to happen next. You just, in spiritual terms, got married to Jesus. Marriage is something God created. And it's the union of two people. God created it. In the Bible, the church is the bride. Christ is the groom. We're united as one with him. That's what happened in the heart. That's what it is. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. And through, in the context of that oneness, he's going to speak to you, transform you, and bless you with everything you've been looking for. He's going to fill that emptiness in your heart. But it's in the context of that relationship. Not rules, relationship. Amen? Okay, let's pray for these people. Lord, we thank you so much for these people. We thank you for their faith to come down here. We thank you for their faith to pray. And I pray, Lord, that you would transform their life in an amazing way. I pray that they would let you be God by faith. And I pray you bless us as we go through these cults. I pray you teach us the word, Lord, that we wouldn't just learn about cults, we'd learn your word. Teach us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Go that way. Let's give them a hand as they go out.